A group of scientists, food activists, and students yesterday took a stand against the practice of filing for patents on seeds with the launch of a new open-source seed initiative.
This initiative pledges to preserve seed diversity and provide seed that is patent-free to anyone who wants to use it. Irwin Goldman, UW-Madison professor of horticulture, is with us to tell us why it works and why it was important. Irwin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So tell us about the open-source seed initiative. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I think plant breeders have been sort of puzzling for the last several decades about what our future will look like if all of our seeds become somehow legally protected through various forms of patents or licenses. And, you know, while that certainly has its place in the seed industry, if everything became tied up, I think it would be very difficult for plant breeders and some farmers to find freedom to operate.
And yesterday was the kickoff day. Why that day?
Well, yesterday was Via Campesina's International Day of Action on Seeds, particularly focused on seed sovereignty, and that's an international peasant organization that cares a lot about the rights of seeds. And I think as seeds around the world become more and more protected, one of the questions that farmers have is, how will we sustain our food system? And so being able to, say, save and replant one's own seeds, which is a practice that farmers have been doing for thousands of years, or breeding the plants that one would like to breed is something that, you know, is increasingly threatened with these forms of legal protection.
Let's dive into that a little bit more. Why is it under threat right now, do you think? What's happened?
Well, I think you know, to breed a new variety, to develop a new cultivar is very expensive, and it requires a lot of capital investment. So it completely makes sense that companies would want to protect those investments through licenses. And to be completely candid, the university where I work also protects the varieties that I develop through licenses and patents. And I think that is a good way to bring revenues back, in my case, to my own breeding program or to the university. But we sought a way to sort of set aside some genetic resources, some sort of a separate channel or a separate pathway so that we could put some genetic resources out in what we call a protected commons that would remain available for anybody who wanted to use them.
What kind of seeds generally get patented versus the kinds of seeds that you're trying to set aside to make for the common use?
Well, that's an excellent question. Actually, you know, in the beginning years, the big crops, corn, soybean, cotton, and that sort of thing were the type that were being patented. But increasingly, even the minor crops, one of the crops I breed is carrot, and in recent years, a number of companies have filed for patents on a number of carrot varieties. So if that sort of trend continues with even some of our more minor crops, I guess the question becomes, what will our future look like in terms of our freedom to use seeds? I think because plant breeding depends so much on seed sharing, it depends so much on exchanging genetic material, we call it germplasm, that exchange, I think, if there's an impediment to that exchange, I think it threatens our whole food system.
Are you actually actively distributing these open source seeds, or are you just encouraging people to get a hold of them and use them?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did distribute a couple hundred packets of those seeds yesterday at this rally we held on campus. And we have two seed companies involved in this initiative, Wild Garden Seeds and High Mowing Seeds. And those two companies actually sell some of the varieties that we made available. And so gardeners and farmers can purchase through those seed companies, just as they would purchase regular seeds, they can purchase open source seeds, with the difference being that once they receive those seed packets in the mail, they could then save the seeds, share them with their neighbors, breed with them, do whatever they want, as long as they too pledge to not restrict them in any way.
Can you tell us about some of the seeds that you passed out? They have fascinating names. They're kind of fun.
Yes, they do. Well, we have probably the best one is a cress variety called Wrinkled, Crinkled, Crumpled, which I think is pretty well describes that variety. But I released two carrots. One of those carrot varieties is called Sovereign. Of course, this is meant to represent things like seed sovereignty. So the plant breeders, I think, and the farmers who participated in this initiative look to sort of name their varieties after some of the things that they're working on.
Are these heirloom varieties or just special ones that you're putting aside for this project?
Well, I wouldn't call them necessarily heirloom. The breeding that I did happened to come from two open-pollinated populations or two open-pollinated cultivars of carrots. I suppose one could call those heirlooms, and I think some of the other breeders, we did end up releasing 36 varieties of 14 different crops, and so I think some of those 36 varieties do come from heirlooms that have been reselected and rebred by breeders. But some of them represent other genetic materials that would be available from other public gene banks. And they're then bred into a particular type and particular cultivar that's then named and released.
The Open Source Seed Initiative makes a point of crediting the breeders and that, and also part of the pledge to make sure that these seeds are freely available to anyone who wants to use them. As far as that latter goes, how can you make sure that happens? Once these seeds sort of go out into the world, how can you make sure that they keep being available free?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we're asking people to take the open source pledge, and in fact, we took that all as a group yesterday as part of this this release rally. We recognize that our pledge is likely not legally enforceable, but we're appealing to sort of the moral economy here by asking people to share these seeds in the spirit in which they were given these seeds, and so we hope that that gesture will generate some goodwill among seed sharers and farmers and gardeners. And we hope that they will be able to pass the seeds on in that way.
In terms of sort of the large agribusinesses like Monsanto that say genetically modified seeds and crops are the one way to feed the world, how do you see the Open Source Seed Initiative functioning within in that framework? Do you agree with that?
Well, I do. You know, there's absolutely a place for the kind of high-tech varieties that are being developed by our large agricultural companies. And I would say, from my point of view, the Open Source Seed Initiative is not against that. Rather, it's for something. And what it's for, I think, is, you know, I sort of liken this to a national park. We're taking seeds, we're setting them aside. We all agree as a society that there's value in setting aside these genetic resources so that everybody can use them and so that they cannot get developed or, in this case, tied up. So I guess what we hope for the Open Source Seed Initiative is that it provides a reservoir of these genetic resources in perpetuity for people who would then use them to breed or use them to farm and in a sense, diversifies the seed system.
And in our last 30 seconds here, do you see this sort of these seeds leaving your hands and going forth and, I guess, being fruitful all over the world?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the dream for me would be that people all over the world take these and develop whatever is adapted to their particular environment, their soil, their climate. And that would make me feel as though the Open Source Seed Initiative had achieved a really important goal, which is that those genetic resources have made their way out into the world and fed people.
Erwin, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
That was Erwin Goldman, professor of horticulture at the UW-Madison and a member of the Open Source Seed Initiative.